If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
So, Vladimir Zelensky spoke to the UN, and he is tomorrow speaking to members of Congress, including the Speaker of the House. A couple of points about that. We reached out to Joel Ostro. He is a professor of political science at Benedictine University. And I asked him a little bit, first off, about the address that Biden made and the address that Zelensky made to the UN.
I thought it was interesting how President Biden and President Zelensky addressed the body. I doubt that it was coordinated. But President Biden focused on how we should not appease Russia's violation of Ukraine's sovereignty because then it undermines the international system. Whereas Zelensky focused, he did talk about that and how Russia and its authoritarian allies are a threat to the democracies of the world. Some of those states that are starting to soften on the support for Ukraine and tire of it are doing so because of rising costs of energy prices and food. And Zelensky made powerfully clear that for many of those countries, those increased costs are a direct result of Russia's aggression. And so to support that, they'd actually be undermining themselves. I don't know how effective it was, but it was a notable 1-2 punch.
Our Chicago take today on what Zelensky said, sponsored by the Hagerty Auto Group at HagertyAutoGroup.com. We asked him what's at stake here.
In the end, how the rest of the world goes is largely going to follow how the United States goes. And if the right-wing part of the Republican Party, and they get their way, then support for Ukraine potentially wavers in the United States or substantially reduces. And then the rest of the world realizes it doesn't make sense to continue to support because Ukraine doesn't have a chance without our full-throated support.
More about that here. That does sound a little bit like what Zelensky said when he spoke to the UN Assembly yesterday. And he said, look at the seats around you. If we allow Russia to continue, those seats will be empty. Seats will be empty. You will have been invaded.
Yeah. Philosophically true. I mean, there will still be, the seats will be occupied, and they won't be occupied by Russians, but they won't be occupied by the same kind of people with the same kind of freedoms, the same kind of independence. That's what he meant.
So we asked him what Zelensky wants from you and me, from the United States.
He will no doubt press again for speedier delivery of the tanks and of the fighter planes, the F-16s, and those are, you know, that process is well underway. He will express the urgency, which the U.S. military and intelligence agencies on their own, well aware of, that once fall comes, progress in the counteroffensive is going to be very difficult. I think those meetings are less significant other than just sort of publicity purposes, because the administration here and Zelensky's administration are in lockstep. The meetings with Congress, and I don't know, I've not seen a report of who is scheduled to meet with him other than McCarthy. He is going to get pressed on the issue of corruption, apparently. Like, where's the money going is McCarthy's latest focus. To criticize Volodymyr Zelensky on the issue of corruption, frankly, is idiotic. He campaigned on an anti-corruption campaign, and maybe it's worth backing up. Russia has rampant corruption, and we've talked at the beginning of this invasion, Putin thought that under all of the budget infusion for modern armaments and arming the military, that the Russian military would just roll through Ukraine and take it over in a matter of a couple of weeks. Well, it turns out that money went to palaces in Monaco and Swiss bank accounts and not into modernizing the Russian military. Ukraine was always among the most corrupt of the Soviet republics, and after independence, Ukraine was one of the last to seriously reform, either politically or economically. And corruption has been endemic in that country for a long time. And it is Zelensky who committed from the beginning to stamping out corruption as much as he could during his time. It's going to take decades to really clean up that country. And then Russia invades out of desperation and infusion of billions of dollars in aid and armaments starts flowing into the country. And he'd only been president for a matter of months. Even in the best of circumstances, some of that money that comes in that fast, there are going to be bad actors, and some of that money is going to disappear. The evidence that Zelensky is serious about anti-corruption is, for the second time during this war in which they are very much the underdog, he has replaced key ministers and generals in managing the war effort because of suspicions about corruption.
Yeah, see, that's either the glass is half empty or the glass is half full, but it seems like both sides have a point here. I don't know that that's determinative. Maybe that's a lever for Republicans to try and fund less the Ukrainians. That seems to be their driving consideration, right? I mean, what do we care about what happens in Ukraine, except philosophically we support them and they're important for the world, et cetera, but they're not at our doorstep, the Russians, and I don't see this escalating to the point where American lives would be at stake. But American dollars are. And I suppose that's really what's driving the conversation in the Congress, right?
And then what's important is not to look at the $64 billion, which is the total amount spent to this point in the more than a year and a half since the war began. $64 billion sounds like a lot of money, but 0.7% of our defense spending is what that amounts to, and less than 0.1% of our total budget spending.
It's an interesting number, isn't it? He said 0.7% of our defense spending is what we've been spending to help Ukraine. That was Professor Joel Ostro, political science professor at Benedictine University, with a little perspective on Vladimir Zelensky's visit to the U.S. and the U.N.